Morning Watch, Day 4. Living a Christian Life and Church Life Under the Government of God for the Economy of God, Week 5. Grace in Peter's Epistles. Related Verses. 1 Peter 2:19 through 21. For this is grace, if anyone, because of a consciousness of God, bears sorrows by suffering unjustly. For what glory is it if, while sinning and being buffeted, you endure? But if, while doing good and suffering, you endure, this is grace with God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered on your behalf, leaving you a model, so that you may follow in his steps. Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, receiving an unshakable kingdom, let us have grace, through which we may serve God well-pleasingly with piety and fear. Acts 11:23. Who, when he arrived and saw the grace of God, rejoiced and encouraged them all to remain with the Lord with purpose of heart. John 7:38-39. He who believes into me, as the scripture said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But this he said concerning the Spirit, whom those who believed into him were about to receive. For the Spirit was not yet, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Ephesians 1:14. Who is the pledge of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the acquired possession, to the praise of his glory. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not out of us. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Related Reading. If, due to our consciousness of God, we are willing to bear sorrows and suffer unjustly, that is, suffer unjust treatment, this is grace. The Greek word rendered grace in 1 Peter 2:19 is charis, referring here to the motivation of the divine life within us and its expression in our living, which becomes in our behavior gracious and acceptable in the eyes of both man and God. A consciousness of God can also be rendered for conscience toward God, and is the consciousness of our relation to God. It indicates that a believer is living in an intimate fellowship with God, that he has and keeps a conscience toward God that is both good and pure. According to the context, the unjust suffering spoken of in 1 Peter 2:19 must be the mistreatment inflicted by the unbelieving masters. These masters opposed and persecuted their believing servants because of their Christian testimony. These verses speak about our behavior in our daily life as Christians. The Christian life is a matter of behavior. Suppose we did not have the divine life within us. This would certainly make family life very difficult, especially in relation to our in-laws, and particularly to the mother-in-law. For both a husband and a wife, a mother-in-law can create a difficult situation. For this reason, humanly speaking, it is better that a married couple not have a mother-in-law live with them. The point here is that if we are those without the divine life, we will face problems in our married life, no matter how much we may love one another. No matter how much alike a husband and a wife may be, there will be differences between them regarding temper, disposition, habit, background, and understanding. the husband will have his way of viewing things, and the wife will have hers. Likewise, the wife will have her habits and disposition, and the husband will have his. Therefore, they will have difficulties with the five troubling factors of temper, disposition, habit, background, and way of understanding. This will be the situation, even if the husband and wife love each other very much and are refined, educated people. Sometimes, at least, they will find the situation intolerable and will quarrel with one another. If a mother-in-law is visiting at such a time, she will find the situation altogether unpleasant and unacceptable. She would not even want to observe such an ungracious situation. But suppose a husband and wife both have the divine life and live according to this life. In spite of the differences in temper, disposition, habit, background, and understanding, grace inwardly motivates both the husband and the wife. Furthermore, this grace is expressed in their living. If the mother-in-law of either the husband or wife observes their way of living, she will find it gracious, pleasant, and acceptable. This is grace. Peter says, "This is grace." Then he tells us that Christ has left us a model. The grace and the model are closely related. When anyone observes the expression of the triune God as grace from within a believer and recognizes that this is grace, there is an indication that this one has become a Xerox copy of Christ, the model. To express the triune God as grace in the midst of unjust suffering is to become a reproduction of Christ. Therefore, instead of saying, "This is grace," it is possible to say, "This is a reproduction of Christ." The manner of life that expresses the process triune God as grace is not only grace, it is a reproduction of Christ.